And welcome back to another edition of The Pulse. And this one, I'm excited every week because we get to talk to great people who are doing huge things. But I'm really excited because I have been a fan and then followed this gentleman, entertainer, businessman, I don't know what you call him, other than mogul. And he joins us on The Pulse today. Master P, Percy Miller, welcome to The Pulse.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm one of those people who knows you going back to Make Him Say and the music and all of those things, and obviously have watched kind of your career from afar. But for people who may not have all of that background.
Jumped into the music industry, sold over 100 million records in the music industry, and then got into product, started creating my own clothing companies from No Limit to P. Miller, built a major brand, also started doing movies, films, TV. God has blessed me, man. But I think the most important thing for me, what I want kids to realize, that you don't have to be judged by your past. I love what I've done in the music industry, but I don't want people just to remember me for that. Everybody else, that all entrepreneurs that I know in the world, we allow them to grow up. I think just because I come from hip hop, I want to change that to show people that we can do good coming from hip hop. Like, we don't have to be followers. That we, you know, my whole thing is building a community of leaders and being able to give that educational information to the next generation, because we make the wrong decisions and choices because of lack of education. So education is key. I don't work for money. I tell people all the time, it's all about ideas.
And you said you can't do music forever. And I remember when you were doing music, but even then, it was kind of changing the game because you were doing music, but then you were talking about the ownership and your own label, you know, and we're gonna kind of keep control of that. I don't know if you were the first, but you certainly were one of the people who changed that mindset in hip hop, right?
And I think that you got to do stuff you love. Like for me, when you look at Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, my grandparents always made me go to the store and buy those products. And as a kid, I always thought that somebody that looked like us owned those brands and those products. And as I started realizing, I said, you know, we don't own that. And that's the changes that has to be made to add some diversity into those grocery stores, to make a difference for our culture, and our people to be able to put money back into the community and the culture. So, you know, me and Snoop, we came up with Mama Snoop. This is Snoop Mama, Mama Snoop. So somebody that's from our culture, our people, that is like this into stores. So when you go in there and buy these brands, you know that you're buying something from our culture and our people. And we don't only want to be the only ones doing this. We want to inspire other entrepreneurs and product makers to be able to go and get their products on major shelves, chain stores. And I think that's how we build economic empowerment, because when you look at it, so not only Mama Snoop brand, but it's Broder's Food, which, you know, these are family names that these companies been building, from Kellogg's to Quaker Oats to Gucci to all these different companies. What I want to put our people on game is we have to start building some of them family brands, people that look like us, if we want to change poverty and crime in our communities and our culture.
Was that always, even when you were making the music and building the brands and what have you back then, was the goal always to do this, or was that just part of that evolution you're talking about where everybody grows up and hopefully grows up well?
I mean, I've always had that mindset to, we need to come up with something. I mean, when I got into the music business, I created No Limit Records, which was a Black-owned company. And I want people to know that we want to create Black-owned business, but we want to be able to sell our products to everybody. So even when I created No Limit Records, I was thinking bigger. Like, I don't want this to be a regional company. This have to hit to people all over the world. Like this, I want this to go international, but I'm going to start small. So I tell people all the time, don't think that you're going to sell millions of records. First, you got to sell 10 records. You got to sell 20, 100, 1,000 and grow. But I've always had that mindset. If this go big, then it'll be able to hold its own value in the marketplace because of the way that it's put together. when we came up with Snoop Loops, we like, man, we've been eating all these products all our lives. I've been eating cereal all my life. Me and Snoop still eat cereal today. And, you know, they wanted us to put our face on there. But when you look at the character, Captain Ace, he's the Kobe Bryant of cereal. The thing about it, that's why I say product outweighs talent. Product will be around when we're not here. And we want to make it to our culture. Don't have to wait till we gone to buy a product. Like, support us now so we could make our environment and our culture better. And I mean, that's what we do for all these other companies. Like, we've been supporting these brands for hundreds of years, and these are family brands, but none of this money is coming back to our community and our culture. So think about it. So why we're not getting stuff into our community to help our culture and our people? Because there's nobody that look like us that are running these companies. You know, when I talk about ownership, I want our culture to realize you don't have to own everything. Long as you own 51% of it and you can control it, because it's all about control. So you could have 100% of nothing, or you have 51% of something major, because we spend trillions of dollars, but we don't own or control anything. So that's the next level of the game. I want to teach the culture about having control.
As I was doing research and looking back, at some point, 2001, Guinness Book, you were in there, highest paid rapper, $400 million in the Guinness Book. And you could have stopped. You had generational wealth. You had family is now set forever. You know, you can't, I mean, you can, I guess, we've seen cases of it, but you shouldn't be able to not be okay forever with $400 million. Yeah. So this concept of I need to make my community better was something that was in you, even at a time where people were then and continue to criticize hip hop for not having that level of concern for community.
My business is building community leaders and future leaders. Like, that's what I live for. So it's not about the money. So I feel like if I could make 10,000 masterpieces, then we'll be in better shape. So it's not about the money for me. You know, and I told you earlier, I don't work for money. I don't pray for money. I pray for wisdom. The richest man in the world in the Bible, he prayed for wisdom. And then I tell people, when you look at our culture, you don't have to chase the bag. When you do what you're expert at, you do what you spend your time, what your God-given talent and skills are, then the bag will come. So I never chased the bag. I told one of my friends the other day, I said, you know what it's about with me? It's about creating ideas. It's not about money.
Some of the things that you did when you were doing it, people nowadays, they're familiar with Master P. They know of your success. They're familiar with Jay-Z. And so you guys sitting in boardrooms, you know, as CEOs and hundreds of million dollars, it's not that it's still unusual, but it's not as shocking as it was when you were first doing it. Was it ever hard to keep going when you talk about, you know, rap snacks and Snoopaloops and, you know, you came up with your own rice, Uncle P's rice and all of those things. And people laughed to some extent. You haven't earned your place in this room. Was it hard to stay there and continue the course?
Most people are not going to see the vision. You can't see the house if it's just dirt. You know, until it get built, you feel that foundation. I think a lot of people, and I, what's the saddest thing that I see in this being in hip hop, and what the culture do is compare you to other hip hop companies, all these different things. They don't allow you to grow. Like, think about it. In sports, we allow Michael Jordan to grow, to say, you know what? He can't play basketball no more, but he could sell his tennis shoes. He could be a part of these brands and stuff like that. But in hip hop, you only as big as your last record. So people don't even know you at ball. They like, well, he's not selling records no more, then he must not be successful. It's just like, really? Like, do you guys know I don't want to sell records? Like, I don't want to be, and I did that, and I love the music industry. But I'm at a stage in my life that I realize that this is a young person game. So I leave that to the young people. My thing is, like you said, that's why we got brands like Rap Snacks, Soldier Snacks. We got Uncle P products. We have rice. We got cereal. We got pancake. We got syrup. We got coffee. I could go on and on. We got meniatis. We got clothing. We have the shoes. Motivating oneself, encourage you actively to think independently. Like, think about it. We are diversifying our portfolio. Most successful people from other cultures, we allow them to do that. We don't allow, we stereotype us. We self-hate on us because we're like, man, how can he grow up? Like, dude, this man is not 25 years old no more. I'm not trying to be Mr. Ice Cream Man. You know, I sell ice cream now. So it's like, it's evolving. So I tell people all the time, like, I have product. When the police pull me over, I don't even have to stop. You know, when I do stop and say, officer, what do you have? Oh, I got cereal, I got ice cream, I got all this stuff. I'm legit. So I have legit packs. And I know that I'm not doing nothing wrong, and I'm getting better, and I'm growing. And that's my message to the next generation. Don't be afraid to get better and grow.
You talk a lot about the growth and the success and what have you. But there's a saying that the ultimate goal is to move from success to significance. And yes. I look at a lot of the things that you've done. And I want to talk a little bit about your philanthropy, because you mentioned Soldier Snacks. Like, Soldier Snacks is a product, but it's a product that's based on helping people. You have a foundation. Yeah. You recently did a book. Why is that part of it so important to you?
Well, I mean, being able to help other people. So when you look at Soldier Snacks, we help with military vets, families, people that went to war for us, that fought for our country. We want to be able to do something for their kids and their families and say we're not going to forget about them. Because when you look at Soldier Snacks, my grandfather, Sergeant Claude, like, he did a lot for our family and our community. He fed the community. He fed the soldiers out there, you know, on the battlefield. And I wanted to keep his legacy going. And also, when you talk about philanthropy, it's so important, because our motto is the more we make, the more we give. So if we got a great, strong business, then we could give back and be able to help so many kids and the elderly in the community. And being able to write a book with Malachi Roberts, a kid that was blinded by gunshots. He was shot in his house while he was in his house playing with his brother. And it's just sad, man. We are killing up us. And like I said, it's a lack of education. But to be able to do something and be inspired by a kid that could ride a bike that's blind, that could write a book, that's probably the number one 7-year-old in math in his class. So, and still not giving up on life, even though all the adversity he's going through. I say, man, if we could take that adversity and show this to the world and show how inspiring this kid is, that he's keep going. Imagine somebody sitting in their house, whether it's a grown up or a kid, that want to give up, saying, look at this kid, like, man, like, we shouldn't be complaining.
Did you ever think the hip hop guy who was in that era of, you know, gangster rap that was being criticized for what you were doing, for who you were then, did you ever think that guy would be talking about these products and philanthropy and helping the military and empowering? Did you see it then, or is it just easier to see as you grow up?
Now, so think about it. I named my company No Limit because I knew it was going to be no limit to my success. I called myself Master P because I wanted to master the game. Even back then, I didn't know that I was going to be this big and I was going to be doing so many different things. But when you go back and look at, and I love that people are going to be able to see my story now. Like, when you see what, in salute to 50 Cent, what he was able to do with Power. You got the No Limit series is coming to TV soon. So you'll be able to see me from a little kid, you know, me cutting grass. I was an entrepreneur, me carrying the elderly groceries from the stores and doing little odd jobs to try to help my family. So I live with my grandparents. I grew up in a 3-bedroom project with 14 people. My grandparents had 12 kids. And with me and my brother, I made 16. So I never had a bed till I went to college. So I slept on the floor all my life, but I never was angry and upset. I tell people all the time, use that adversity to make you stronger, to make you grow. I think that's what made me chase my dreams. And I knew that I've always thought that I'm gonna get my grandparents out the projects. Like that was a goal of mine. And so kids, like, do stuff to make a difference when you're doing stuff instead of just, oh, I want to make $1 million. No, I had a reason. I said that I wanted to get my grandparents out the ghetto. That was a goal of mine. And I set that goal and I was able to accomplish that. When I got in the music industry, I said, when you look at African Americans, they didn't believe in us as business owners. Like, everybody wanted to rap. I said, no, I don't want to rap. I want to own a company. I looked at other people like Lil J, all these other guys that look like us, Russell Simmons, these guys that had music company. I say these guys own these companies. And then even the evolution of like Quincy Jones and all those guys. I said, man, look, like, we could actually make a mark in this business, but we have to be humble and hungry. And we got to be able to attack like that lion and stand up for what we believe in. When I turned down that $1 million with Jimmy Iovine, I only had $500 in my pocket. I knew that I was going to be successful because I seen the value in me.
We end the show generally by talking about how you use your voice for good. Now, that seems like the whole foundation of a lot of the things that you're doing right now anyway. But if you could summarize it, to use your voice for good, what does that mean for you as we wrap up?
To use my voice for good is to educate the community and the next generation on leadership, giving back, never giving up, and being that voice to where you don't have to be perfect to be better, to get better. Education is so important. Education is key. The only way we're gonna build generational wealth is through education and wisdom. And so I'm going to constantly keep using my verse for that, to educate the next generation in the culture, saying that we got to stop killing and fighting each other, and we got to start working together and building. I tell people all the time that I don't want people to run with me no more. I want people to push me. I want people to build with me. If you're not going to build with me, then, you know, like, your verse shouldn't be heard. For us to use our verse, we have to be able to stand up in hard times, in bad times, for what's right and having integrity. So using my verse is to teach the next generation integrity and how to change and grow.
And I enjoyed seeing you as a hip hop artist and a performer. I respect and appreciate seeing you as a businessman, a mogul, and a philanthropist.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I didn't even go make him say, that.
I appreciate it, man. It's time to change now. Like, it's like, how come we can't? I mean, it's a lot of us doing major business. I mean, look at what Dr. Dre did with the headphones. You look at what 50 Cent did with the vitamin wall. You look at what Jay-Z done with his business. I mean, how come we can't be known for evolving and being business people? Why do we have to carry it? Hip hop, even though we love what we've done in hip hop, but how come we can't grow when we let other cultures grow? Even when you look at Snoop, where he's evolving that, I mean, going back buying Death Row, I mean, a company that he had so much flack, so much negativity, to grow his wealth to be able to go back and buy, that's a businessman. Yeah. Like, you're gonna see the growth in us. And look at hip hop is leading the nation now, like, for selling products and having people that come from our culture promote brands. I think that people are changing, but I want to start seeing us into that Fortune 500 level, to where now you say, wow, these guys did have a childhood, but look what they're doing. Now they're building generational wealth. So,
well, and the more we tell these stories, the more people see it. So I appreciate you doing it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pulse podcast today with Master P, Percy Miller. And it was interesting hearing his perspective on hip hop and the evolution and how resistant people are to allowing hip hop artists to become business people and philanthropists and have a real impact on their community, something that he clearly is dedicated to and wants to talk about with all of his products and the things that they're doing to help people. I continue to enjoy this show because we keep learning so much about people that you otherwise may not have known. And the more you learn about them, I think the more you appreciate many of these individuals. If you're ever in Philadelphia and you would like to watch the show, we're on Monday evenings at 6:30. Nationally, we're on Fox Soul. That's 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, also on Mondays. And of course, you can always find the episodes on the podcast that you're listening to. Just make sure you subscribe. Excuse me. Easy for me to say. They come out every Monday. And then the full TV episodes are always available on YouTube. Just search for The Pulse with Bill Anderson. You can reach out to me, contact me, send your questions, comments, critiques to my social media. I'm at Bill A. Fox 29 on all platforms. And I leave you, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.